It's just consistency with what I was doing, and how it flared up was I was doing this new lift because I wanted to get back into squatting a little bit. It wasn't a squat, but it's a variation, and I was just trying to crank it up a notch to get ready for training camp. I wanted to kind of get back to my college ways because I was as big and as strong as I was when I was in college. I wanted to get back to that, so I was pushing the envelope a little too far, but up until that point, I was fine. So just knowing what I can and can't do and being smart with it, and the worst of it was 3 years ago, and then I had the surgery, and I've been fine since. Of course, I've had flare-ups that you guys didn't even know about, but you know about this one because obviously training camp started. It's just getting in the training room and getting there early and being consistent with what you do, because the back just loves stability and it comes from your hips and your ass. So just lighting all that up every single day and going on about it.
Bills right tackle Spencer Brown, who returned to team drills, his explanation for what happened there for his back flare-up. That had been the first day of camp or the day they reported and guys were going on the NFI. Steve Tasker on One Bills Live, I was listening, he said something to the effect of, you know what happens is right before camp, how guys get hurt, they're like, I'm amped up, kind of ready for camp, and then they do a little bit more than they should, and they get hurt.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, it's just a thing. Like, it happens. It's hard not to get a little bit kind of amped up. And sure enough, Spencer Brown, what's he say? Like, it's right before camp. I want to get stronger. And right before camp, he picks up a little bit of an injury, a little flare-up. And the point there he also makes about, I've had flare-ups you guys didn't know about, you know?
Right.
That's happened before. So, you know, here we are. He's back out there. Says he feels good. It's got to make you feel better that it's not the same as 3 years ago. Like, I had that before, and now it's been good ever since. So, I've had flare-ups you haven't heard about. So, good to see Spencer Brown back and, you know, kind of put some fears to bed, because we started camp with Brown not here, and after a couple of practices, the question was, how long until we are worried about this? And then, you know, it's all gone. The Cook thing can be that way, too. We're just worried about it. You're worried about it. And then he signs. Like, all right, never mind. I do see.
I see
a lot of overreaction, I think. If I can be someone that sits here and says, you're overreacting, which anybody can do. I see some overreacting to the Cook stuff.
In what way? In that they've
got to get him out of here. He's got to go. Yeah. He's a distraction. It is a distraction. It is less than ideal. It is, everybody will say, business. And,
yeah,
I just feel like a month from now, by the way, a month from now they'll be playing the Ravens. A month from now, it will be history. Whether he's signed or not, it'll be something that, yeah, that happened, and we still don't know about the contract and what's going to happen there, but it'll kind of be history. Because they'll be playing a game, and I expect him to be a part of that game. Don't we all still expect him to be a part of that game?
I would be stunned. I'd be stunned if he's not a part of that game. Right?
Yeah.
Unless, like, what? If he holds out into game week?
But now he's missing checks. He said, I like my money.
No, but that's what I mean. Like, he shows up. He's still holding in. He says the week of the game, all right, now I'm going to start practicing. And then they decide to keep him out because he's missed, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks of reps.
Yeah, they could do that.
But what would that decision come across? How would that come across? Like, wait, you're going to not play one of your best players on offense in a really important game because he missed a few weeks of reps?
Well, you got to practice. If you want to play, you practice. And that's been a pretty consistent thing.
That's right.
You have to practice to play. And if he's going to sit out until then yeah, sure. But he already kind of, I don't know, when he came back to minicamp, we thought he was being responsible, admitting defeat. I mean, you can kind of put your own spin on what that meant. Well, hey, is he going to come to mandatory minicamp? His answer was, yes, I like my money. I don't want to get fined for missing minicamp. Then he comes to training camp, practices for a while, showing, all right, now it's, everything must be good to go because he's going to play and bet on himself. And then this week happens again. Like, I do think that the spotlight goes away a little bit once they're back at One Bills Drive. They have practice.
Yeah.
The media still covers practice. You see less of practice.
Yes. Right.
Training camps kind of drift back into their buildings. And, you know, you can't, it's just not as public a hold in after today. So, who knows what his point was. And I still can't get away from, whether it's true or not, one of the sides is telling insiders this is not that far off. And Right. I keep going to that. And that's why every time we've talked about this Cook thing, and I'll see, you know, the chat's got, he's got to go, he's got to get out of here, he's a me guy. Like, they might sign him in 6 hours, and then you got to walk all that back. So they keep saying it's close. I don't know. I guess we're all just waiting and guessing what's going to happen, but I expect him to be on the field in a month.
Yeah,
that'd be my bet.
He's not getting traded. He's not holding out into the season. If he does hold out into the season, will it all, as you bring up, like a lot of the overreaction is more on the Cook side, right? Like, get him out of here. You know, this isn't what you're, you know, you're not part of the culture anymore or whatever. Any criticism of Bean from fans, well, if he's holding out into games that hey, you bungled this.
Let me give you an example.
Months to get this done, and now the season has started, and it's still sitting here not done.
This happened last year. Last year, what happened? Everybody eats. Everybody's fine. We don't need a receiver. They go 4 games into the season, 5 games. They have 2 dreadful offensive performances, and it's panic time. Get a receiver. Amari Cooper's here. Right?
Yeah.
Is that?
That's what happened.
The fans, plenty of people panicked. The Houston game happened, and it was, this won't work.
That's why I don't mind using that word, because it was preceded by Allen having the lowest completion percentage like in a game for a quarterback in 30 years.
Yeah. So
and very clearly the problem was nobody could get open.
Panic times. Yeah. You need somebody else to take attention. They trade for Cooper, and things get better. And Bean, by the way, don't forget, pointed out, was it the end of the year?
End of the year.
Where
yeah.
he pointed out, you know, you might think that he didn't have big numbers, but when he was on the field, we scored more points.
Right.
Or once we got him, we scored more points than we did without him. So
yeah, right.
he was making an impact. And that was, what, was the plan always to maybe add one at the deadline? I suppose that's possible. Maybe they were thinking Davante Adams. Maybe they're thinking Cooper. The way to relate this to Cook is, all right, he wants to hold out all the way into the year. Does he wait for the opener and their offense has a lackluster game? And then we say, like, whoa. All right, you couldn't run anywhere against the Ravens. I remember Ray Davis ripping up the Jets, but he got stuffed against the Ravens, and I'm panicking.
Yeah.
It might be less likely, but it I guess it's one way to
– it's one way he could gain leverage,
it's
right?
It's one way to get to a resolution. You and I are sitting here talking about how can they find a resolution where it's finally over, and that's one way is – I already mentioned a bunch of guys get hurt, and they feel like they need – somebody out there, or they have a slow start offensively and they
yeah.
feel like, uh-oh, and that's exactly what Cook wants, is to see, like, yeah, without me, you're not as good. Like, let's do this.
I mean, it might be the best plan for him. Like, if I'm him, what I want right now is I want that contract that I feel that I deserve, and I want it here. Not just because of the winning and because of Josh, but you know, like, part of some of the points we talked about yesterday with Jerry Ostrowski and John Fina, and even before that, that their offense is perfectly catered to a running back like him.
Yeah,
he's
a good fit.
Like, okay, sure, if I get the bag somewhere else, then I've accomplished, you know, one big goal. But what if I go to a team like, you know, the Cowboys. The Cowboys want to pay me. I got to do more now as a pass protector. I don't know if I'm necessarily a perfect fit for their run scheme. There's the winning part of it and all that, too. We had this conversation with the Kyren Williams thing yesterday, how his job ask is very different in L.A. than Cook's is here. If I'm James Cook, what is the best offense for my skill set in the league? Is it not a team that runs a zone run scheme like the Bills do, with an offensive line that's that good, and a quarterback that allows me to not have to pass protect that often because he's so good at getting, like, that is the perfect team for me. So I'd want to get that long-term deal out of them, and if I feel like I can't do that, then one way to gain leverage would be, all right, see what it's like without me. Live life without me for a yep. little bit. Let's see how that goes for you. And if Ray Davis starts a couple of games and it looks pedestrian or maybe even bad, then maybe that's how you get them to raise their price. That would be a leverage play, basically.
Right. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Preseason starts tonight, and some teams that we will care about will be in action. You can watch them this evening. The Bengals open tonight. Burrow is going to play. The Eagles play as well. It's Bengals-Eagles. You've got Raiders-Seahawks and Indy and Baltimore.
Okay.
So Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Philly. There'll be three teams that we should probably care about. Baltimore and Cincinnati especially.
Yeah, Baltimore's not going to play anybody, though.
No, you wouldn't think so.
Not Lamar. I don't think Harbaugh's a guy that plays guys in the preseason like that. You want some Bills preseason trivia?
I do. We're going to talk with Bills COO Pete Guelli coming up at 7:30. So in the meantime, you've got Bills preseason trivia for me.
I'm going to give you an option here.
Okay.
Would you rather guess at? I've got the list of passers in the preseason since Sean McDermott got here. So 2017 to present.
Okay.
Do you want the 8 quarterbacks that have thrown for more than 250 yards in the preseason, or do you want the 8 quarterbacks that have thrown for fewer than 250 yards in the preseason?
Boy.
What do you think you'd be better
at? I want to not have to figure out how many of these. So there have been 16 quarterbacks?
Yep.
How about guys that have thrown touchdowns?
It's not the list I have.
I know. I don't want to put you on the spot. 8 quarterbacks have thrown for 250 yards or more in the preseason. All right, let's do it. Josh.
801. Surprised it's that high?
No. 801. It's a lot of preseasons.
It is a lot of preseasons. And he would have played a lot in that first preseason. I saw a video, NFL.com, or the NFL Twitter account, like a throwback to Josh Allen in his preseason debut 6 years ago. And he throws the ball so differently.
Yeah.
Like, if you really don't realize the throwing mechanics and the throwing motion changes that Allen has made over the years, go watch his first preseason game highlights, and it looks like a different person throwing the football. It's so different looking. But yeah, 801 for Allen.
He changes mechanics.
Yeah.
Matt Barkley.
The leader, 1,032. He's the only one over 1,000.
Trubisky,
317. Gets there.
Is Tyrod here?
No, Tyrod 100.
Okay, no Tyrod.
It was only one preseason.
Yeah, that's right.
Under McDermott.
There are 6 more?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
1, 2, 3,
Ben DiNucci.
4. No, 96 for Ben DiNucci.
Almost halfway.
I like the list of the guys under. 250.
Kyle Allen.
Yes, 396 for Kyle Allen.
A.J. McCarron.
284. For A.J. McCarron. A lot of them in that Bears game.
Yes.
He had like 200 in the Bears game.
Peterman.
The Bears game. They had to come back in the Bears game like 5 years ago. Peterman, 884, number 2.
That's 5 out of 8.
Preseason hero.
Yeah.
3 more.
I'm going to get to like Matt Sims. I'm not landing there.
No, that's pre-McDermott. Matt Sims is Rex.
Yeah, I don't
know. I don't know. I just remember he threw the ball backwards. That's all I remember.
Who are the next names?
Tyree Jackson.
Would not have gotten that.
315.
Okay.
Where did I lose my list here? You said Kyle Allen.
I did.
Case Keenum.
Okay.
324.
That was gettable.
Yep. And then where'd my list go? Here we go. TJ Yates. Okay. I don't think you were ever getting TJ.
I don't think I was.
If I gave you a hint of like this guy played in a playoff game, maybe I could have got you there.
I don't know. You could have said TJ. I don't think I might have gotten there. All right, there you go. Instant trivia, preseason trivia. We're gonna break in. We come back. Bill COO Pete Guelli is gonna join us here. Chat some stadium stuff. Some Bills business kind of stuff, so stay tuned. And then Sal, 8 o'clock, helping us recap yesterday's practice and preview today's final practice of the preseason. Oh, sorry, of training camp. It is training camp coverage here on WGR. We are live from Buffalo Bills training camp here at St. John Fisher, Jeremy and Joe, and joining us is Bills Chief Operating Officer and Sabres Chief Operating Officer, Pete Guelli. Good morning.
Morning, guys.
Good to have you here. Good to have you here. Last day, is it the last day? Does everybody leave, or does it take time to pack up this operation? I mean, there's a lot going on here, and this is the last practice.
It takes time, but it's definitely getaway day.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as this practice is over, people are going to take off and get down the thruway and get back to Buffalo. We're ready to go.
Yeah. Well, final day here at Fisher. Watching Hard Knocks, one of the reviews is that St. John Fisher comes off looking like a star of the show. Like, it's beautiful, the shots, and they really kind of drove home in that first episode what being here means for you guys.
Yeah, you know, we brought it here. It was a college, and now it's a university. It's really grown. And I just want to thank St. John Fisher University, Dr. Rooney. They've done an incredible job here. You know, we're one of six teams that go away for camp, and I'm glad we do. You can tell every time you come here, it's foundational to the success of the organization, and what the college does here puts us in a great position.
I wonder, do players that – I mean, you get some young players, of course, that come straight from college, so the college atmosphere is not that unusual. Do you ever find players talking about the way they did camp before, and then they come here, they're kind of thrown back in time and what that's like for them?
Yeah, I think most of them like it. I think this whole transition's happened because people have built these amazing training facilities and they don't want to leave. But I think sometimes they maybe undervalue the culture that's being built in a situation like this. So these guys come here and it's so communal. Everyone's together, whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, doing things after practice, hanging out together. And it's not just it's football. It's every aspect of the organization is integrated. And I think almost to a man, people really enjoy coming here.
Yeah, there's the going away, and then there's also, I'm sure for you, like the Rochester footprint in the market for you and coming here for I mean, there's a ton of Bills fans obviously here that you'd want to come out for once a year.
Yeah, I mean, Bills Mafia is just as strong in Rochester as it is in Buffalo. It's fun, and for me, I'm from here. The camp's now been here 25 years. It's almost impossible to think about it, and it's evolved so much, and it's even better than when it started. And when you sit down with, Sean and Brandon and talk to them about how they see it and how it works, that's when you really start to think about how special it is.
How much is it now kind of just do it the same as you've done a couple years before? Like next year, if you're back, is just we know the formula. Is there a lot to really evaluate and tweak, or is it just kind of it works as it is?
Yeah, not as much. Year one, I spent a lot of time in discovery kind of looking. And again, from when I left to when I came back, it is so much better in every single aspect of it, whether it's the executional stuff on the football side or from a marketing perspective or fan experience, it's better. So yeah, honestly, there's not a lot to do. I think we're always looking for ways to get better, but this camp operates at a high level.
Plenty of stuff to get to on the business side. There was a story that the NFL draft, you guys have been in pursuit of the NFL draft, hosting that. The timeline on that looks to have shifted a little bit. So
yeah,
what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, a little bit. So every single year, you basically have to resubmit your expression of interest. So we did that again, and as we started looking at the overall landscape and with the new stadium coming online, when the old stadium is going to come down, from a timing perspective, it felt like 29-30 would be better for us, put us in a better position to kind of execute things. And, after going to – we sent a team down to Green Bay, and they looked at the layout there and how that was set up. And, the layout's important. Making sure it's authentic to the market is really important. And we try to make sure we have time to check every single box and be ready for something like that. And, one thing I want to share – people realize it's not a layup. It's a very competitive process. This has become really big. Most teams and most markets want it. It's in a lot of ways a public-private partnership. There's a lot of work to do to get it done, but we want it. And the league is aware, and we're going to do everything we can to get it.
You feel like Green Bay was the closest to what it might look like here because they did it in a parking lot, right? They did it on their grounds by their stadium, whereas Detroit's downtown. That's a little different. Pittsburgh's doing it at the park. Is it the
yeah. –
So, they're different ideas, but you might want to most resemble Green Bay?
That's why we sent people down there. I think that vision, we could replicate something like that. The other things to consider, too, is there's great spots in Buffalo, whether it's Niagara Falls, whether it's something downtown, whether it's something maybe north of the border. There's other things you can do. But the primary footprint we would anticipate being at Highmark, and, yeah, I think it is a lot more similar to, what Green Bay is, so that's why we sent people there.
Stadium milestones to come. Stadium's going up. People are getting their tours, grabbing tickets. There's the first bit of steel. There's the last bit of steel. There's the canopy. What are the next potential days that fans might be able to kind of note?
I don't know if it's big milestones anymore. It's details. The field's starting to go in. The lockers have arrived. The escalators are going in. And, we've got to get that structure closed so the final pieces over the winter – we don't want to lose any time working, so enclosing the entire structure is going to be a big part of it. So I don't know if it's definitive milestones necessary, but a lot of details. And we walked through it Friday, and it was just incredible to see how far it's come along. The thing that jumps out to me the most is we've got this great training facility right across the street. Everything that's at that training facility is at the stadium. So it's a more seamless experience on game days. When the players show up, they don't have to really come to the training facility. They can go right to the stadium and get to work.
The new stadium project, some could see storylines. I think there were a couple, like a month or two ago, that the full completion of it won't be until like December of next year. So when a fan sees that, you know, they might think, wait a minute, I thought, you know, start of the season obviously is in September, but is that going to be the type of stuff that maybe a fan going to games won't even notice?
Yeah, I mean, punch list stuff. We'll be ready to go. You know, we're planning to get in the keys in July. There's a lot of testing that needs to take place. There's nowhere else to play, right, unless we're going to All-High Stadium to play a game. Like, we are playing in that facility in 2026, so it'll be open. I don't think anything more than any normal construction project that anyone's ever seen, so it'll be ready to go.
When it comes to the build-out of scheduling, you know, soft opening, warm-up games, blue and red preseason, are you starting to map out the things that might be your opening few events?
Yeah, I think all the above. You know, I want to make sure we get season ticket holders through that building so they can really, you know, visualize where their seats are, but to really be in there and be part of that process. And candidly, as many times as possible, one of the bigger challenges we've had now is like so many people want to go through it.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's a construction project, so you can only execute that so many times at, you know, a certain level. But yeah, we want to get in there. Definitely a soft opening, definitely a bigger event. I think what, you know, I've come to realize is the first thing that needs to happen on that field, big, it's got to be a football game. You know, for us, like you're opening up this spectacular $2 billion stadium. It's a football first facility. It's for the team first and foremost. So, you know, when we get into preseason, we want to make sure it's tested. But as far as events go, that'll be the first big event. I would, you know, assume we're going to do a blue and red there, ramp it up. How do we make it even better? Do we look at maybe doing an alumni game as part of it, for instance, like make it even bigger than it's been in the past? And I'm going to sit down with everybody in the building and particularly with Sean and Brandon, just kind of talk about it and try to map it out as early as possible. But I would think that would probably be the first big event in there.
Where are you at on progress on PSLs? We talked to a lot of people that in like these recent days are going through that process now. How far along are you on both PSLs and season tickets?
It's going really well. You know, when I first got here, we were going through this whole kind of premium process and everyone felt like we needed to get through that first. And I think people were a little concerned, maybe a little impatient, which you completely get. So we've really made an effort to get everybody through. We're literally now into the last wave of season ticket holders. So almost everybody's been through the building or through this process. By the time we open up the season, every single current season ticket holder will have a chance to go through it. And I think the one thing I want to make sure now, and the one thing that we would all regret, is if somebody is in the current building, didn't feel like they got an opportunity to move over.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, how do we take a step back? How do we reconnect with anybody who maybe hasn't been responsive or hasn't decided yet to make sure that they get a chance to be in there? So that's kind of the next step. We'll get through the current season ticket holders by the start of the season. We'll kind of go out to them again, and then we'll go to the waiting list. And right now we're, you know, I don't like to use the words ahead of schedule, but it's pacing extremely well. About 80% of the building is already sold through. We've got a year left. We've got a massive waiting list to go through, so we're really well positioned.
And the stories at the start of that, you mentioned like the premium seating experience happened first. Those numbers, of course, are big and maybe sticker shock for a lot of people. When you get to where you are now, are you able to kind of share the breadth of how wide the options are, I suppose?
Yeah, I mean, we were saying that from the beginning, that there would be a price point for everybody. We would lower the barrier to entry. We want everybody from the current stadium be over there. We don't want it to be an impediment. You know, in a lot of ways, you had to start with some of those higher priced products. And, you know, what was interesting is how they moved really quickly and we sold through them really quickly. So it wasn't an issue for a lot of people. There's a lot of people, I think, that wanted to be in those premium areas. Once we got through that and started moving into the upper bowl, then the process really escalated and went very fast. But, you know, we're already down to a $1,000 PSL price point right now, likely to be another one coming here in the near future. So, you know, I'm glad we've got a price point for everybody, an opportunity for everyone to participate in the new building.
Regarding the stadium and the rest of it, we always talk about the structure, the landscape, the lots. I have a buddy that asked me, parking, like when will parking plans, when will that kind of be figured out? Is that already figured out? And like how that's all going to work regarding the stadium and where to park and egress? Are there plans for that to be a little better, understanding that you're also going to have another stadium coming down, and you know it's been busy for the last couple years.
I would say for the most part it's figured out. We just haven't really announced anything yet because we've been working through this PSL process and making sure. I think it's going to be better. You know, there's a number of different entry points, the way it's set up, the way that they're going to handle Abbott kind of moving forward. I think we're hopeful because, you know, that's the process, right? It's not just about the game. It's when you leave your house and what it takes to get there and what are your plans for tailgating and what's it like when you walk into the building and how is it on exit. So, you know, obviously we've had a lot of experience in the old building and we've seen how that worked. It's been a little challenging because there's been some closures. So it's probably been a little bit worse than it has been when it all opens up. And then even as we move forward, when the old stadium comes down in March of 27, then it should get even a little bit better. But, yeah, we feel like we're in a good place there. We haven't rolled anything out yet, but that's definitely something we've been working on.
Any further down the line on what to do with the space that the current stadium sits on?
Not yet. I mean, it's obviously going to always be part of our campus. This is one of the reasons that we go to places like Green Bay and look around and try to think long-term about what it is. Preliminary discussions, because there's been so much focus on getting that stadium up and running and putting it where it needs to be, and you know, that's just the next step in the process, but we're just not there yet.
I did think of one more milestone. When do we find about the giant buffaloes? I mean, you know, yeah. If I don't ask about that, people are going to be mad at me.
Look, it's coming. The foundation of the family circle is being built right now, so we're getting close. I think in the next couple of months, we'll probably start releasing some of the concepts and people can look forward to what's going to be there.
All right.
Farewell season at the stadium, the red helmets being announced a couple weeks ago. Feedback on that, I feel like, has been pretty universally. But I mean, the nostalgia play for that, you know, I guess my question would be, you know, how you arrived at that in the game at the end of the season, like that I'm sure was on purpose, like close the stadium, at least in the regular season,
yeah,
with that helmet.
Yeah, you know, that's a tough process because when you're closing out a stadium with all that history, are we doing it right? Are we doing enough? And we just kept sitting down and kind of iterating on what was the best way to do this. The red helmet piece has been on the radar for a long time. And there's a lot of hoops you got to jump through with the NFL even to get that approved in the first place. But you saw all the kind of anecdotal excitement around it. And then it was a little bit of a perfect storm. Rumors about whether it was going to happen, whether it was not going to happen. And we didn't change the timeline at all. It just happened to sync up. And then when we announced it, it just blew up. I think through our social channels alone, almost 25 million impressions on that. On Instagram, that's the second most trafficked post we've had all year, and the one that beat it was Josh Allen's MVP announcement. So, right. You know, obviously people are really excited about it. I'm glad we're bringing it back. It felt right, like the right way to close it out. And, you know, we're looking now, what are the other pieces? Who do we bring back? How do we transport people back in time as much as possible for that last game? Because it's going to be a really special moment.
Regarding the bringing it back and the hoops and – is it a one-off, or is it the kind of thing that maybe people can look forward to reappearing occasionally in the future?
I mean, maybe. I think it's like it's starting as a one-off. You know, you really are supposed to be wearing three helmets during the course of the season, so we had to go back to the league and say we'd really like this kind of approval so that we can roll it out. There's a lot of excitement behind it, and they granted that. Now, you know, it's hard to say moving forward. I'm glad it's in our portfolio, if you will, because we know people love it, so it'd be cool to bring it back again. There's no plans right now.
We are 3 weeks from the reveal of the rivalry series set. So yeah. You did refer to us earlier this camp as you think we're like uniform experts. You know, like you did say that to us.
Yep.
How excited should Bills fans be for these?
Look, first of all, I like that you guys are into it. There's so many fans that love the uniforms, love to talk about helmets and have – like, it's subjective, too. So, you know, people aren't going to love everything that you do, but I think I'm very excited. I think you've seen some of the reactions from the players. This is, I would say, more of a league-driven process that we're supporting, but we're creating our own content. We're going to be rolling it out. There's a whole merchandise capsule that's going to be part of this as well. I would say I feel like it's very authentic Buffalo. I think it really represents the team and the region as well. I think people are going to be excited.
Without giving away what it is, does that almost kind of remind you of, you come from the NBA, Charlotte, like the City Connect series that they've done there, you know, like trying to go more to, it could be different colors, you know, it could be different, you know, landscapes of your uniform. Like, is that, again, not without asking, is that exactly what they're trying to do? But it seems like it's different.
Yeah, I think conceptually, yes. I think that's what they're trying to do for all the teams and kind of create that, you know, that feeling that it's somehow connected to the team and connected to the city. I think it's cool to be part of the first rollout of something like this. You know, it's interesting. You know, the team has transcended the market. The brand has transcended the market. So you're on the radar for things like Hard Knocks and things like the rivalry series. So it's a great position to be in, to kind of be a first mover in a lot of these spaces, like this uniform.
Was there a process for that? Did the league just call one day and say, you're in?
They said we were in, and then the process, though, began from a design standpoint. Right. So we've had a lot of input along the way. There's been a number of checkpoints. I mean, they had a direction, you know, that they wanted to go in, and then we were able to sit down and make sure that our marketing people and our design team were at the table, and everybody on the football side, the owner, and make sure that, you know, we felt good about what was coming out.
Pete Quelle here joining us from training camp. A couple quick things on the Sabres. You had the announcement of the KeyBank partnership on the naming rights. Anything on the lease? Like, we know that there's a date there, so what – because many had speculated perhaps that announcement was going to be something regarding the lease. So the lease on KeyBank Center, anything to report on that?
Yeah, look, first I'm glad you guys have asked, because I think it's been mischaracterized a little bit. The lease is not up. Now, could we opt out at the end of September? If we wanted to, sure. Or we can just kind of sit tight, it'll roll over, and it'll have another 5 years on it. And then there's a number of subsequent options after that. So I think we're all in a good spot. It's really more about, you know, no lease is perfect. So we've been talking to the county, and Mark Polenkar is actually going to be out here today. We've been talking to the state, just kind of looking big picture about the future of the arena at the same time. But I would anticipate it just rolling over and then continuing to sit down and talk about, okay, we've got a 30-year-old building. I believe it's the oldest NHL building that has not gone through a major renovation yet. Let's just talk about where we're going in the future, and then as the lease kind of continues to roll over, let's get into more detail about what the future could look like.
Major renovations, are they possible? How do hockey rinks do that? It's all inside, right? You're not talking new building in that scenario. Yeah. You're talking about projects. We know new roof, new Jumbotron. These are improvements that have happened. What's next? The seats, the bowl? I mean, what exactly could you do, and what might you explore?
Yeah, I mean, you guys know what we did last year. We've got a couple of things we're going to be announcing here in the next 2 weeks that we're working on right now that'll be ready for the season as well. So we wanted to do something every year. But yeah, looking at it big picture, how do you phase something like this in? So we've engaged with Populous. They worked with us on the new stadium as well. We've been talking to them about what's the future of this building look like, what are the areas that we should impact. We get a lot of feedback from our season ticket holders on what they want. You know, seats are obviously on the radar. There's some things that make sense to do now, and there's some things that might make more sense as part of a bigger, broader renovation. So you've got to balance those things. But you know, I've had a year under the hood to look at it. I still love the building. It needs work. There's no question about it. It's a great hockey barn. The one thing that's obvious is how important it is to Buffalo. We had 1.3 million people in that building last year. Like, I don't know what number two is for drawing people to Buffalo, but it can't be anywhere close. That can be a catalyst for growth in the city if it's done right. So whatever we do, we want it to have a broader impact on the waterfront, on the canal side, on everything else that we're doing there. So when people come there, there's something to do. You know, we had those Bandits playoff games, and they were rolling. I go down there, I'm like, where are these people going? What are they doing when they come to Buffalo? So let's create a strategy that I think is a little bit more overarching than what has been there in the past.
Regarding any sort of major project that is a renovation-based one, like when we were talking about this for the football stadium, we would be able to point to what happened at Soldier Field, what happened in Lambeau, and sometimes it's a retrofit. The Bills Stadium went through an overhaul with different towers and bathrooms. Are there any NHL rinks that have gone through major renovations, and over the course of a year or two, they just phase them in, and by the time it's all done, it does look like a majorly updated building? Like, I just don't know exactly who to look at. I'm not sure if you have examples.
Yeah, I don't think there's as many as maybe there are in football, right, for instance. But first of all, you go look at those new buildings and say, what can we incorporate? Seattle, Las Vegas, not that we're going to be at that level, but some amazing technology and features and amenities in those buildings. Boston, I think, is a pretty good example. You know, they went through a major overhaul there, and not only in the building itself, but around the property, that's become more of a destination. They've got mixed use built up around it. So there are a couple of examples, not as many as there are maybe in football, but I think the vision of, you know, how do you create something that draws more people in? Because it's obviously it's the Sabres, it's the Bandits, it's all the marquee events that you have there as well. But making a year-round property out of that thing, so we're bringing people into Buffalo as much as we possibly can.
Uniform-wise, I don't think there's really anything to go over. Sabres-wise, feels like you're in a pretty good spot. Although, is the black and red just like a year-to-year thing? Is there a time on that, or is that just, that's working, we're just going to keep going?
Yeah, look, the feedback's been great. People love it. I mean, it's almost like there's a generational timeline,
sure,
where people love, you know, the old jersey and people love the black and red. I think we did a poll on it. It really almost came in at 50-50, which was crazy to me. But, you know, we've got 15 games that we're going to be doing in black and red this year, and I think that's performed well. We've got some things, nothing I can disclose right now, but on the horizon that we're looking at relative to the uniforms. You know, that's a traditional hockey market and fan base. So I think For me, you only want to deviate so much. Like, how do you make sure you're tying in the things that people really love, even if you're making tweaks to move that forward?
Pete Quelly here from St. John Fisher.
One last thing, hockey-wise, because we've talked a lot about the new stadium. Is there any sort of process when it comes to getting outdoor games? We saw another one announced yesterday. Is that something you have to, I assume, apply for? Is that conversations with the league? How is that? How does that go?
Yeah, another great question. That's something we really want to do. You know, 28 is the 20-year anniversary of the Winter Classic. Love to tie something in there. I think the Winter Classic might be a little tougher. The way the NFL schedule is now and when you would put a game in there and how you would then prepare for the next one makes it challenging. But the Stadium Series, we could absolutely execute. We have had conversations with the league, talked to Gary Bettman about it. They would love to bring that game back to Buffalo. They would love to do something potentially around the 20th anniversary of the old Winter Classic, and they would love to do something in the new building.
Yeah.
So I feel very good about that process and the opportunity to bring a game like that to Buffalo.
Is the new building, would it be easier to execute, or would it be, I mean, it's grass, which might present some challenge in terms of, like, throwing something on top of it. It's after football season, but, you know.
Yeah, plenty of time to get things back in shape. I think it's going to be easier. You know, just that building, we're talking about it, you know, that building, and you remember the old Winter Classic and how it was kind of in the middle of the field and everything was so far away. This building that we have now, the new Highmark Stadium, is, you know, that's a technology masterpiece, and executing events like this and bringing them in and out are going to be a lot easier than they were in the past.
Very good.
Definitely.
Thanks for joining us, and you know, congratulations on a successful camp, and see you back in Buffalo.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. See you there.
Pete Quelly here on WGR. Sal Capaccio joins us top of the hour. We'll recap yesterday's workouts practice here from St. John Fisher and preview today's final practice. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Very quick note here. Do you have something you want to mention?
Go ahead. I was going to really quick recap. It sounds like from Pete there, like, they're going to have an outdoor game in 2028.
Yes.
Hockey game.
Stadium Series, more so than Winter Classic, because that's easier to maybe
the
line
Bills will be playing right at that time. So
right. January AFC 1st. Championship games and such.
That's regular season still. Actually.
I know, yeah. So the thing I was going to mention was uniform news. He's talking about the rivalry series and how it's different. The Seattle Kraken. Is it possible the Seattle Kraken are about to redeem themselves on everything they've ever done with a new alternate jersey? They put out a teaser video yesterday for this upcoming alternate jersey they're going to wear, where there's Coast Guard is out, and the person says, "We've received reports of a glowing anomaly." And they send a thing down, and they pull a chest up from the ocean or whatever, the bay, and it says, "The Abyss Awakens," which has led some to suggest that they are about to wear a black jersey that has, like, a glowing, bioluminescent, fish-inspired S.
S, yeah.
A black jersey with, like, a glowing S.
Glowing in the sense of, like, it'll look like it's glow. It's not going to, like, glow in the dark, is it?
Maybe.
When they come out, like a pitch black, like intro or something.
I'm here to tell
that
you.
That sounds better than what they're currently wearing.
Yes, it does.
That sounds better than
but
what they're wearing.
But careful, because the colors they have at this website, sportslogos.net, it's a little bit like black and red of the Sabres.
That's okay.
Little bit.
That's fine.
Black and white.
That
with
works.
This
take it.
Pinkish
take
red.
It.
All right. Sal is here to join us for a recap of yesterday's practice and talk today's final workout. It's the last day from St. John Fisher. Jeremy and Joe and Sal next here from Fisher.